Andy Warhol, or rather, Andrew Warhola, was born on the 6th of August, 1928, in a grim little flat on Ore Street in Pittsburgh's Soho neighborhood on a middling hot day under overcast skies. Andy's eldest brother, Paul, who was born in the same room 6 years earlier, told the story that he'd heard his mother's screams, and then somebody said, "It's 5:30, although whether that was morning or evening has never been clear. Depending on who you believe, either a doctor or a midwife was in attendance. Warhol's father was also Andrew, born Andrej or Andriy, a Slav who became an American a few months before his namesake was born. Andrej was a laborer, like the thousands who worked in the Jones and Lachlan steel mill a few steps down the hill on the shores of the toxic Monongahela River. He worked there before he went into heavy construction, when he traveled widely for a firm that moved buildings on rollers. It seems he would always have preferred the easier, indoor, more settled life of a mill worker, but somehow couldn't manage it. Although he was only 5'5" tall, he weighed 185 pounds, and people remarked on his massive arms. A little after Warhol's birth, Andrej, likewise always known as Andy, which was even how he signed his will, had his gallbladder removed, without complete success, according to his son Paul. 6 decades later, Andy Jr. would die after the same operation. The screaming young mother was named Yulia. She was 36 years old, an immigrant housewife with almost no English, and a husband and 3 boys to tend. A middle son named John was 3 years older than Andy. For weeks or even months at a time, her husband would live on construction sites across several states. A 1930 photo shows him and his work crew in Indianapolis shifting a 12,000-ton building that was still occupied. Yulia was a sort of work widow when things were going well. With the arrival of the Great Depression in 1929, there were times when Andrej had no work at all and Yulia cleaned houses and sold crafts door to door. According to one story Warhol told, their soup wasn't Campbell's. It was made from water, salt, pepper, and ketchup. Heinz brand, of course, a signature Pittsburgh product produced by a family that became patrons of the artist. The Ore Street apartment was 2 rooms on the 2nd floor of a tiny wooden row house. The walls were just wooden panels going across, not even panels, just slats, one neighbor remembered. There was only cold water to wash in, and the toilet was an outhouse in the alley. Not a special indignity in the Warhola's world, but it couldn't have been fun in winter. A bit earlier, a Pittsburgh reformer's study of the Soho neighborhood had voiced contempt for its insanitary, disease-breeding vaults without sewer connection, ever ready to spread contamination and endanger the health of the neighborhood, and had described its houses as veritable fire traps. In 1922, the year Paul Warhola was born, a newly published history of the city was describing the neighborhood's housing as old and not attractive, populated by foreign mill workers and their families. Within 2 years of Warhol's birth, the Warholas had moved twice, ending up just down the street and a touch up the ladder in a 4-room flat with a pot-bellied stove, a galvanized hip bath, and an indoor but unplumbed toilet. The 3 boys slept in 1 bed. But you didn't feel you were poor because everybody else lived the same way, recalled John Warhola. They shared that house on Beeland Street with another family and paid $18 a month for the privilege, about a quarter of their monthly income. The Pittsburgh that Andy Warhol grew up in wasn't just an example of blue-collar America. It was the archetype of that life and its struggles. In 1914, a charitable organization called the Russell Sage Foundation finished publishing the Pittsburgh Survey, whose 6 massive volumes contained the nation's first notable example of systematic urban sociology.